The Daily Promise and Worship House Ministries present Faith Versus Fear, Releasing Your Faith to Overcome Your Fear. Written by Billy Taylor and read by the author. What are you afraid of? I'm not talking about spiders, dark hallways, or snakes. What is it you're really afraid of? What is it that keeps you up at night and greets you first thing in the morning? What do you spend your time worrying about? One of the greatest hindrances to your faith is fear. Fear zaps your strength and destroys your faith. You can never live in fear and in faith. However, God promises you can live above your fears. He promises the power to overcome your deepest fears and greatest worries. God has given you a direct promise related to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We all have fears. I wish I could tell you that one day you will reach a point in your spiritual life where fear is no longer a factor. Unfortunately, you'll always have to deal with fear, but you don't have to live in fear. God has given you the power to live above your fears. So if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, where do our fears come from? Well, scientists tell us that we're born with only two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Every other fear is learned. Throughout your life, you have been taught to fear. Not all fear is bad. God gave us a survival mechanism to evaluate dangers that are present. If you're walking through the woods and you hear a low growl from a bear, that's a good fear. If you're leaning out the window of a 50-story building and you're afraid you might fall, that's a good fear. God gave us those fears to protect us from danger. However, most of our fears go beyond survival. Now we live in fear and worry about our finances, future, relationships, and life's pressures. It's easy to see why when we look at two sources of fear. The business of fear. Fear is big business. They say sex sells, but let me tell you, fear sells better. Almost everything that shows up on your screen is based on fear. News channels know that fear sells, so they begin the newscast with a particularly gruesome story of murder, theft, or scandal. Rarely is the lead item an upbeat, feel-good story. They know our minds are tuned to fear, so they take advantage of that sensitivity to sell their newscasts. Documentaries show us 50 ways the world can end and detail what might happen if we experience a nuclear holocaust. Commercials warn us of dangerous medical conditions. They entice us to buy their products through fears we didn't know we had. Insurance companies sell fear of the future. If you were to die today, would your family be protected? Even resorts and vacation destinations sell the fear that you may be missing out on the vacation of a lifetime. Social media plays on one of our most basic fears, the fear of missing out. It is no wonder we live in fear when so many messages bombard us daily. The ministry of fear. All these fear-filled messages don't occur by accident. Satan loves for God's people to live in fear. Fear is one of Satan's favorite tools in his hellish handbag. Every irrational fear comes from Satan. He knows fear is an attack on the character of God. When you accept fear, you question God's character. Let me say that again. When you accept fear, you question God's character. He knows if he can get you to focus on your fear, your faith will shrink and your walk with God will stagnate. Satan is working day and night to fill you with fear. What about worry? When fear takes hold, worry sets in. Worry is fear-filled thinking. Now, I know some people think it's their personal responsibility to worry about their family. They are the self-assigned official family worrier. However, there is nothing spiritual about worry. Surprisingly, worry is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Worry is actually meditating on the unfaithfulness of God. When you worry, you take your focus off the Lord and onto your fear. You assume that God will forsake you. You forget His goodness and promise to be your provision and protector. You allow fear to rule your heart. The what-if train. When fear comes, the what-if train shows up with it. It's easy to take a ride on the what-if train. The what-if train pulls into the station of your heart with one simple question, what if? From there, it tears down the tracks with question after question. What if inflation keeps going? What if I lose my job? What if I can't make my car payment? What if I lose my house? What if, what if, what if, what if? The what-if train is long and fast, and once it gets going, it's hard to stop. Soon, the what-if train is streaming down the tracks of your heart and destroying your faith. Worry is the free ticket on the first seat of the what-if train. Fight, flight, or freeze. We're told there are two responses to fear, flight or fight. When we are afraid or in a dangerous situation, we either fight or run. I think there is a third response that is far more common. Often when fear comes along, we simply freeze. We don't run, we don't fight, we just stop, unable to move. When you freeze, you don't know what to do next, so you don't do anything. You just stop. If Satan can get you to freeze, he can paralyze your faith and limit your walk with God. When I was growing up, our family took very few vacations. However, one summer, my parents took us to Red River, New Mexico. Red River is a quaint little ski town snuggled in the mountains of New Mexico. One day, my brother, who is 6 years older than me, thought it would be fun to climb a cliff alongside the road. It didn't seem that tall when we started, but it somehow grew as we ascended. I don't remember my exact age, but I was around 9 or 10. Now, we had no training in mountain climbing. No one had heard of free soloing, but we did have our trusty KEDS on. So how hard could it be? We began our climb with me in the lead. I don't know how tall that cliff was, but the higher we climbed, the higher it grew. We were progressing well until we came to a large section of rock. There was nothing to grab hold of, no crevices and no cracks, just bare rock. The only way up was to grab a root sticking out of the rock about 3 foot further than I could reach. It was then I began to panic. I couldn't go right, couldn't go left, and certainly could never reach up. Then I did the worst thing you can do when you're frightened on the side of a cliff. I looked down. I don't know how high we were, but to a 9-year-old boy, it felt like we were 1,000 feet above the ground. I could see our car far below with my parents looking up. When I looked back up, all I could see was that root 3 foot out of reach. To me, it seemed a mile away. So I responded as every young boy would. I froze. I hugged the rock. Have you ever hugged the rock? You don't know what to do next, so you just hang on. Eventually, my brother came up with a plan that if he moved up, I could stand on his shoulders, and then I could reach up and grab the branch. It was a great thought, unless you were a 9-year-old boy, stepping off the security of a rock to climb onto your brother's shoulders, all the while seeing your short life pass before your eyes. At last, I released the death grip on the rock and climbed my brother's shoulders. At this point, my mom was completely beside herself. Ultimately, we made it victoriously to the top and found an easier way back down. We did have to endure a long lecture from my mother on the foolishness of climbing the cliff in the first place. Now, here's the point. As long as I hugged the rock, I was going nowhere. I had to get past my freeze response and step out in faith, literally, onto my brother's shoulders. As long as you are in a freeze response, you will never move past your fear. Many Christians have hugged the rock for so long, they are frozen in their faith. They go from year to year with the same fears, the same worries, and the same little faith. God wants you to release the rock and move forward in faith to conquer your fears. Focusing on fear. The more you focus on your fear, the larger it grows. The more you focus on your fear, the more fear takes over your heart. You can't fight your fear directly. You can't wake up one morning and say, "I will no longer be fearful." It's like deciding to be more patient. It just doesn't work. How many times have you tried to be more patient only to become impatient with your progress in becoming more patient? The harder you try, the more fear becomes your focus. To stop the what-if train and break the power of fear, you have to overcome your fear. Fear is like gravity. You can't defy gravity. It always wins. No matter how much faith you have to fly, if you jump off the top of the house, you'll be on your way to the hospital instead of taking flight. A Boeing 747 should not be able to fly. For starters, it weighs over 400,000 pounds. How can something that weighs so much ever get off the ground? It can fly because it overcomes the law of gravity with a more powerful force, the law of aerodynamics. A 747 can fly because its wings are designed to take advantage of the law of aerodynamics. Its wings are designed in such a way that air passes over the top of the wing faster than it does below the wing. This difference creates lift. When the plane is traveling fast enough, the law of aerodynamics actually lifts the plane into the air. The 747 doesn't defy gravity, it overcomes it with a more powerful force. Just like the 747, the law of faith overcomes the law of fear. When you release your faith, it lifts you above your fears. You can soar above your fear and worry as you strengthen and release your faith. Faith and fear can't coexist. Although some people, especially mothers of preschoolers, think they can multitask, they really can't. Your brain can only process one task at a time. Instead of multitasking, your brain actually switches from one task to the next. Just like your brain, your heart can only focus on one thing at a time. You can only focus on faith or fear. The two cannot live together. So many Christians go through life switching between faith and fear. One moment they're full of faith, and the next they're full of fear. They live a distracted Christian life. James calls this type of person double-minded. Here's what he said in James 1. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James 1:6-8. James says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. And in other words, he can't decide if he's going to live in faith or fear. Opposing forces. Faith and fear are opposing forces. Like water and oil, they can never mix. You can't live in fear and live in faith. Imagine for a moment a pair of scales. On one side is fear and on the other side, faith. When your fear is strong, it dominates your life. You still have faith, but it's weak and powerless. No matter how hard you try, fear always seems to control you. The secret to overcoming your fear is building your faith. If you try and stop being afraid, you simply put more of your focus on your fear. The more you focus on your fear, the more it grows. Instead of fighting your fear, you must increase your faith. When you focus on your faith grows stronger and your fears grow weaker. As your faith goes up, your fear goes down. Instead of trying to stop your fear and worry, focus on building your faith. As your faith increases, it overpowers your fear. You can begin living a life of faith instead of fear and worry. Isn't it time you got serious about overcoming your fear and began living by faith? Now, you may be saying, hey, all this sounds great, but how do I increase my faith? How do I release my faith so I can live in victory over my fear? Releasing your faith. Before we talk about releasing your faith, let's look at the basis of faith. Faith begins with the Word of God. God's Word is the foundation your faith is built on. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say about it. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Faith has no power on its own. Faith in faith is worthless. Just because I put faith in something doesn't mean it's worthy of my faith. I may have faith that the ice on my swimming pool will hold me. I may even step onto the ice in faith. But if the ice is only a quarter of an inch thick, I'm going to get wet. I may have very little faith in a strong chair. Even though my faith is weak, if the chair is strong, I can sit comfortably without the fear of falling. When we place our faith in God's Word, we know it is worthy of our faith. Joshua was a man of faith. His faithful obedience to God's Word allowed him to lead the children of Israel in conquering the Promised Land. As he acted on God's Word, he saw the walls of Jericho fall before him. Their only line of attack was to march around the city in praise and worship. In one of his last addresses to the people of God, Joshua commented on the faithfulness of God's Word. It's found in Joshua 21:45. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. When Joshua became leader after Moses died, God spoke to him and gave him a plan for success. He told Joshua that if he meditated and obeyed his word, he would have success. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." This same principle is true for us today. If you place your faith in God's word, he will honor his word. Your faith is based on God's word, and every fear or worry is an attack on his word. Faith says, "I will not be afraid because God is my source and provider." Remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? you of little faith. Matthew 6:25-30. Fear says God can't be trusted to provide my needs. But Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of you. If God can take care of the birds in the air, how much more will He care for you? Your faith in God's Word overcomes your fear. This is why it's so important to know God's Word. The more you know God's Word, the more you know about God. God reveals Himself in the Bible. As you read the Bible, you learn of God's mercy, grace, and love. One of the best ways to release your faith is to find a promise in the Bible that is related to your fear. Then spend time thinking about it. Memorizing God's Word is a great way to build a storehouse of faith-building truth. When fear comes along, you can pull up that promise you learned and apply it to that fear. As you memorize and think about the promises of God, those promises become part of your life. Before you know it, when you begin worrying about something, the Holy Spirit will bring that promise to mind and you can stand in faith against that fear. What are you concerned about right now? What are you worried about? Why not stop, go to your Bible, and find a promise that overcomes that fear? If you'd like a list of scriptures related to fears, go to dailypromise.com and look under resources. Another way to remind yourself of God's promises is to write them on several cards and place them where you can see them several times a day. Maybe put one on the bathroom mirror so you'll see it first thing in the morning. Place one in your car so you can see it when you're driving. I have changed the background on my phone and laptop to remind me of a particular promise. Get creative and find some ways to get God's Word before your eyes throughout the day. A laboratory of faith. In Mark 4, Jesus takes the disciples into a laboratory on faith versus fear. He shows them what real faith is like and how worthy He is to be trusted. The story is found in Mark 4:35-41. On that day, when evening came, He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was, and the other boats were with Him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And He said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Violent storms were common on the Sea of Galilee. This storm must have been exceptionally strong because even though some of the disciples were career fishermen, they feared for their lives. As they watched Jesus quietly sleeping in the back of the boat, they thought, "Doesn't He care that we're about to die?" When Jesus spoke to the storm, He said, "Hush." It was a command you would use if your dog was barking. We once had a little red dog named Millie. Millie was part beagle, part basset hound, and part only her mother knew. She was the sweetest dog, but she had a bark that drove me crazy. Millie was an outside dog. Our neighbors had an outside dog as well, and sometimes late at night, they would hold what seemed to be singing competitions. When I couldn't stand it any longer, I would open the back door and yell out, "Millie, hush!" This is the same phrase Jesus used when He spoke to the wind. When the disciples saw that even the winds and waves obeyed His command, they were completely amazed. They had seen Jesus heal the sick, feed the 5,000, and even raise the dead, but this took things to a whole new level. Even the weather had to submit to the Son of God. Jesus' response to them was, "Why were you afraid? Why do you have such little faith?" Anytime Jesus wants to grow your faith, He takes you into the laboratory of faith. Jesus uses various storms and problems to test your faith. It is in the storm that Jesus shows Himself as the master of every fear or worry you may have. 6 principles for releasing your faith. This story shows up in all 4 Gospels. When God repeats Himself in the Bible, you better pay attention. Here are 6 principles on how to release your faith and overcome your fear based on this passage. 1, God is in control. God is always in control. He is the Lord of the universe and Lord over your life. Sometimes God places you into situations in order to test your faith. In Mark 4, Jesus tested the disciples' faith. When God tests your faith, your faith grows stronger. Whose idea was it to cross the sea that night? It was Jesus. He's the one who said, "Let's go across the sea." Do you think Jesus knew about the storm? I imagine so. He was about to take them into the laboratory and test their faith. In that testing, Jesus would give them a greater revelation of himself. The disciples had seen a lot over these past few months. I'm sure they trusted Jesus to heal and to provide. Now he would show them that even the weather was under his control. Every time God wants to increase your faith, he puts you into situations where you must trust him more. The more you understand that God is in control and has your best interest at heart, the stronger your faith becomes. However, until your faith is tested, you can't really depend on it. God tests your faith for two reasons. First, to show you that he is faithful in the storm. Number two, to show you that your faith is stronger than you think. When you ask God to strengthen your faith, you're volunteering for God to test your faith. Your faith grows stronger in the middle of the storm. When you face the storm, how will you respond, in faith or fear? Sometimes Jesus calms the storm, and sometimes he calms you in the storm. Long before Jesus calmed the storm, he was at peace. While the disciples feared for their life, Jesus was quietly resting in peace. He knew he was in God's hands and God would take care of him. Even when Jesus doesn't calm your storm, he gives you peace beyond understanding. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In the midst of the storm, you can have peace. Even in the storm, God can give you peace that even you don't understand. You may not know how things are going to work out, but you know God is working for your good. You can rest in the storm while everyone around you is panicking. Faith is confessing that God is in control no matter what you're going through. Even when the storm is raging around you, faith says God is still in control. Number two, Jesus is in the boat. The disciples were afraid because they forgot who was in the boat with them. They focused on the storm and forgot all about Jesus. How could you be afraid if Jesus was with you? They had seen Jesus do so many incredible miracles, but they didn't make the connection. How could they sink when Jesus was in the boat with them? They became afraid because their focus was on the storm instead of the Lord. How can you worry knowing Jesus is with you and in you? Just like Peter when he walked on the water, when you take your eyes off Jesus and focus on the storm, you begin to sink. When you take your eyes off Jesus, your faith begins to fail. To walk in faith, you need to spend more time looking at Jesus and less time looking at your problems. Too often, we do right the opposite. We are just like the disciples in that we focus so much on our problems that we forget Jesus is in the boat with us. When we focus on our problems, our fears grow. But when we focus on the Lord, everything changes and our faith grows. In the midst of the storm, the disciples asked Jesus one of the saddest questions in the Bible. "Jesus, don't you care?" Isn't it interesting that they didn't question his ability, they questioned his concern. Instead of calling for Jesus to save them, the disciples questioned his love. They questioned the character of Jesus. After everything they knew of Jesus, how could they question his love for them? They had seen him love the unlovely and help the helpless. How could they ever think that Jesus didn't care? Satan is always working to get God's people to question God. When he tempted Eve in the garden, he told her that God was holding out on her. He said that if Eve would eat from the tree, she wouldn't die but would be like God. One of Satan's favorite tactics is to use fear to make you question God's character. He uses phrases like, "If God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through this." "If God loved you, you wouldn't be afraid." "If God really loved you, dot, dot, dot." The disciples questioned Jesus' goodness. If Jesus really cared, he wouldn't let them go through the storm. I mentioned earlier that I have an older brother. When I was a little boy, I never worried about anything when I was with him. In my eyes, he could handle anything. If other kids began giving me a hard time, I knew he would take care of them. When you're certain that God is with you and that Jesus is in the boat, you never have to be afraid. Earlier, we looked at the life of Joshua. Right after God told Joshua to keep his word close to his heart, Joshua 1:8, God gave him a promise about his presence. Joshua 1:9 says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When you're faced with fear and worry, if you're not careful, you may be tempted to question God's goodness. Instead of questioning God, cry out to Him. Remember, He is in the boat with you. Number 3, Jesus is bigger than your fear. When Jesus spoke to the storm, the winds and the waves obeyed. Jesus could do more than heal the sick and multiply a meal. Jesus had authority over the weather. That night, the disciples gained a new understanding of just who their master was. Jesus was greater than they ever imagined. No matter how big you think God is, He's bigger. Jesus is greater than you can possibly imagine. Paul ends chapter 3 of Ephesians with a declaration of God's greatness. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love the way this verse mounts superlatives on superlatives. He is not just beyond all that we can ask or think. He is abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. He's not just abundantly beyond, but He is far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. It's amazing. I love the way this verse mounts superlatives on superlatives. He is not just beyond all that we can ask or think. He is abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. He is not just abundantly beyond, but He is far more abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. That's amazing. If Jesus can speak to the storm and the winds and waves obey Him, don't you think He's big enough to handle your problems? You may be saying, well, sure, Jesus is big enough to take care of my problems. The question is, are you letting Him? When fear and worry come along, are you going to Jesus and inviting Him to calm your storm? Is your first thought to call on Jesus or to accept fear and worry? Maybe you need to expand your view of Jesus. The more you understand God's Word, the more it expands your view of God. Without knowing God's Word, you will never have an accurate view of God. Some people only know a little of God's Word, so they have a small view of God. When your view of God is small, so is your faith. When you have little faith, you won't really believe that God gets involved in your life. You won't cry out to Him when the storm comes, so you live in fear. The more you know the Bible, the more your view of God expands. Allow God's Word to expand your view of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to expand your view of God. Like Moses, ask God to show you His glory. Number 4, speak to your faith. Jesus stood in the boat and spoke to the storm. That may seem strange, but it wasn't the first time Jesus spoke to a problem. He told the lame man to stand and walk, commanded Lazarus to come forth from the grave. He told the deaf man's ears to be open and healed the leper all by His word. It wasn't just Jesus. When Peter and John saw the lame beggar at the temple gate, they said, "In the name of Jesus, walk." When the apostle Paul was confronted by a demon-possessed slave girl, he commanded the demon to come out. I have found in my own life that there is power in speaking God's word against fear. I have spoken to fear in my life many, many times. Now here's a way you can release your faith against your fear. Combine speaking against your fear with a confession from God's word. Take a promise of God and personalize it to your situation. You might say something like this: "In the name of Jesus, I stand against the fear of," then name the fear. "God has promised me," quote the promise, "and I stand on the word of God." Let's say you're feeling helpless and afraid in dealing with a situation. You might say this: "In the name of Jesus, I stand against this fear of being helpless. God has promised that He is with me, and I will not be anxious because Jesus is my Lord. He will strengthen and help me. He will uphold me with His right hand." Isaiah 41:10. "And I stand in faith on the word of God." You can do this with any fear or worry you're experiencing. This is why it's so important to know God's word. There are promises in God's word for every fear or worry you encounter. Recently, I came across a verse that I've been confessing against my fear of getting old. Psalm 92, 12 and 14 says this: "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green." When fear comes along and says, "You're getting old. You need to slow down. Your best days are behind you," I stand against that fear and confess that I will continue to yield spiritual fruit in my old age. When you stand against fear and confess the Word of God, your faith will increase and your fear will decrease. Number 5, worship over worry. When the disciples saw that even the storm was subject to Jesus, they were amazed. They were in awe of what Jesus did and who he was. Worship is a powerful practice for releasing your faith and overcoming fear. Worship sets your focus on the Lord. Worship is more than music, and it's not about singing. Worship is reviewing the greatness and goodness of God. Worship is expressing your thankfulness for all God has done in your life. Worship changes your perspective on the problems and worries of life. It reminds you of what God has done in the past and what he will do in the future. Worship strengthens your faith by reminding you of God's goodness, love, and power. One of the lessons I've learned about worry and worship is that you can't carry the weight of the world on your shoulders when you lift your hands in praise. Let me say that again, because it's worth repeating. You can't carry the weight of the world on your shoulders when you lift your hands in praise. As I mentioned before, you can only focus on one thing at a time. When you set your heart to worship, your fear must step aside. When you're struggling with fear, fill your mind with worship. Instead of listening to the news, turn on some worship music. Let worshiping the Lord become part of your daily routine. Take some time each day to praise and worship the Lord. You will find your faith increasing and your fear diminishing. Number 6, resting in the Father's hands. Jesus lived in complete submission to the Father. He said he could do nothing on his own. He only did what the Father was doing. John 5:19 says, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner.'" Jesus could sleep during the storm because he had complete faith and trust in the Father. As a submissive son, he knew God would take care of him. If Jesus lived in submission to the Lord, how much more do you need to submit your life to him? You can live above fear as you submit to the Lord. The Apostle Paul commands you to submit your life to the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." As you submit your life to the Lord, you give him complete control. When you release your life into his hands, your faith grows. Submission is the manifestation of your faith. It is the natural expression of your faith in Christ. You have so much faith in God's goodness and power that you entrust every area of your life into his hands. The secret to the Apostle Paul's powerful preaching and incredible ministry was his submission to the Lord. In Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." When you learn to live a life submitted to the Lord, you can rest in the middle of life's worst storms. Most of our fears come from our desire to be in control. We want to know what will happen next and how things will work out. Submitting to the Lord says, "I trust him so fully that I release control of my life into his hands." Use fear as an indicator. What do you do when you're driving along and your check engine light comes on? Well, hopefully, you pull over as quickly as possible. The check engine light means that something is wrong with your engine. It needs your attention. If you ignore that light, you're headed for big problems and some serious repair bills. You can use fear as an indicator in your own life. When fear and worry raise their ugly heads, use it as a reminder to call out to the Lord. Instead of focusing on fear, focus on the Lord. Go back to the Word, confess your trust in the Lord, and stand against that fear. Use the fear as a reminder to draw closer to the Lord and receive His protection, comfort, and power. Submit your life into the hands of the Lord Jesus. He is trustworthy and ready to calm the storm or bring you rest amid the storm. Rest in Him. Many of our greatest struggles with fear and worry come as we lay down to sleep. We close our eyes and are bombarded with fears and worries. Our mind races as we bounce from one problem to the next. Pretty soon, we are filled with anxiety and sleep comes only after hours of tossing and turning in worry. Here's a promise you can claim when fear and worry attack at bedtime. Psalm 4:8. "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." You can use the steps I've outlined above to release your faith and stand against the fear and worry that comes in the night. Speak to the fear and confess your faith. Personalize this verse and confess it over and over until fear subsides. In the name of Jesus, I stand against the fear and worry that are keeping me from sleep. God says I can lie down and sleep in peace because He keeps me safe. Tonight, I rest in Him. God has promised and has already made a way for you to overcome the fear and worries of life. You don't have to be a slave to your fears. As you stand against your fears in the name of Jesus and confess your faith, you will find new victories over your fears. Hi, this is Billy again. I hope you enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like to begin your day with a faith-building promise from God's Word, go to dailypromise.com and sign up for free. If you know someone who's struggling with fear or worry, send them a copy of this teaching. I give you full permission to share this teaching with everyone you know, as long as you don't charge for it or include it in a larger collection. If you'd like to receive a print version of this teaching, go to dailypromise.com/faith. Thank you for listening, and God's richest blessings. Faith vs. Fear, copyright 2022, Worship House Ministries.